have your Bibles tonight, we'd like for you to be turning with us to the next chapter in the book of Daniel, which is chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 10. You can remember our last study of the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, was week before last. Last week we were in the tabernacle services. Truly received a blessing there,
amen.
Morning and night. And last time we were looking at the book of Daniel 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the 70 weeks of Daniel. And we remember that we went through the demonstration of the timeline of what they represent. And we believe that up to this point, that 69 of Daniel's 70 weeks have been fulfilled. And there still is 1 week to be fulfilled, which will be a period of 7 years. That will come and begin at the rapture of the church, as the great tribulation takes place just after the rapture of the church, when the Holy Ghost is taken away and the saints are taken away. Then the Antichrist will come into power, and then the great tribulation and Daniel's 70th week will begin, and will conclude as Jesus comes back, the battle of Armageddon. Amen, and defeats all of hell and all of its friends. And we look forward to the day when Jesus steps out and ushers in that great millennium.
Amen.
Now tonight we look in Daniel chapter number 10. And let me say this, I forgot an announcement. There is one announcement that Brother John Jackson gave me tonight. They're having a fall leadership conference at West Asheville Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. And Alan Mildred Schlosser will be there. And if you want to go, it costs $20. And you need to see Brother John with that information tonight. I apologize, Brother John, for not making that announcement before now. And if you don't want to go, well, that'll be fine and fair as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter number 10, verse number 1. There'll be 3 points to the message tonight. I know that'll scare you half to death, because you know me. A few points, we'll be here a long time. Daniel chapter 10 has 3 points of the message, and each of those 3 points has 3 sub-points, at least. We looked at that in point number 1, and we're going to label this the state of heart. This is Daniel's state of heart. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That was his Babylonian name. Remember, they tried to change his name. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So under state of heart, we see a revelation. What is that revelation? It is another vision that the Lord has given to Daniel. It is a true vision. How do you know it's true? Well, the Bible says so, and it was given by God, who I think Brother Keith had read the other morning, cannot lie, the book of Titus, chapter number 1. God cannot lie. He gives you something, it's true. Amen? And he said, in the time appointed is long, and Daniel understands the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. There were some things that give him understanding of this vision. So there is the revelation. It's a vision. Number 2, he has a reaction. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Why was he weeping? First of all, because of the fact that it's the 3rd year of Cyrus. You got to understand what the 3rd year of Cyrus is. Jeremiah had prophesied that in 70 years, the Jews would be in captivity. Then they would be free to go. That 70-year period came to pass in Cyrus's 1st year. The Jews were allowed to go home. 70 years they'd been in Babylon. Imagine 70 years, there's a couple generations already come into existence. And now they're free to go home. Remember, before they were taken to captivity, they were agricultural type people. They were farmers. They were sheep herders. Basically sheep keepers. Now for 70 years they've been taken away from the farm and away from the sheep and have been put into captivity. And now over these 70 years, the devil's tried to reculture them and retool their thinking from being a friend of God to becoming a friend of false gods. That 70 years, that's what the devil's scheme was all about. Now, Daniel begins to weep and to mourn 3 full weeks, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when I read the book of Ezra chapter 1, 2 years before, Cyrus said you can go home. Now they're in the 3rd year of Cyrus, and very few decided to go home. Just a little remnant of all those millions of Jews decided, or hundreds of thousands of Jews at least, decided to go home. They believe about 40 to 50,000 out of hundreds and hundreds of thousands chose to go home. Isn't it amazing that you're in captivity and now you can go home from jail and you decide to stay in jail? I don't know down at the jail back over here behind the church. I believe with all my heart if they told some of those prisoners that they could go home, I don't think they'd say, lock me back up, I want to stay a little longer. I enjoy the cooking around here. I enjoy getting to pick up trash on the sides of the road and making my what? So much a day. How much I make a day? 70 cents a day. That's what I want to make the rest of my life. But that's what these Jews were doing. I want to tell you why. Part of what happened to them. They got a new culture in their life, and instead of being sheep keepers, they became shopkeepers. They learned to work in the department stores and all these things that Babylon had to offer with its culture. And if we ain't careful today, rather than wanting to go home to heaven, we'll say, just let me stick around here a little longer. Don't you know this is captivity?
Yeah.
I mean, we're here because we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we're also here because He saved us, and we're here to get ready to go on to our heavenly home. But there's a lot of people that don't want to go to their heavenly home. And they want to go one day, but not tonight. My mind goes back to the story where the preacher said, all those that want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Everybody did but one little boy. After the service, the preacher was convinced that young man was not saved. And he went to him and he said, son, I couldn't but help notice that you didn't raise your hand when I asked who wanted to go to heaven. He said, old preacher, I do want to go to heaven. I just thought you was getting a load tonight. We all want to go out of this world's captivity on home.
Amen.
The Jews in that day liked Babylon very much. They liked its stock market. They liked its shops. They liked all its pagan gods. Why should they think they'd go home to a city broken and despair and do all this rebuilding when they've got all the work? They've got plenty of McDonald's and Burger Kings and nice fancy restaurants. Why would they want to go home to a place where they'd have to work again? They'd become lazy. Daniel saw this in chapter 9, that they weren't going to go home. Remember, he was already concerned because he saw they had not learned their lesson and repented in captivity. They enjoyed captivity. Kind of reminds me of my daddy out there hoeing in the garden. I mean, he'd just be whistling away out there. I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, son, I'm enjoying working in the garden. And I said, I hate it. And some of y'all like working in the garden. I'm praying for you. I hope your maters comes in real good and you get her conviction and want to give me one. But I'm telling you, as far as I can look at the Bible, hoeing in the garden and doing those garden type things is punishment because of man's sin. God told the man, you will till the ground. With the sweat of your brow you will work, and one day you will die. I told my daddy, I don't know about you, Dad, but I don't like punishment. I never have enjoyed punishment. I want to learn from it, but I don't want to spend time having to do it. Amen?
Yes,
we see these people, my friend, they have learned to deal with their exile, and they're happy to be there. And Daniel is brokenhearted because the people can go home, but they won't go. You may say, well, why didn't Daniel go? He couldn't go because he has been made an ambassador of the state. He now has a job in the government that's one that he can't walk away from. He is under the counsel of King Cyrus himself. He can't just come and go as he wants to, even though he's a Jew. But the other Jews could, and they chose not to return. And it broke Daniel's heart. So for 3 weeks, he was in mourning. Verse number 3, I see his resolution. Said, I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. That tells me basically that for 3 full weeks, 21 days, he did not eat or drink. Basically, he was fasting. He did not drink any wine or eat any flesh. He didn't even eat pleasant bread, the delicacies and the fancies of Babylon. He didn't eat anything. He was denying himself and going to the Lord in prayer. I believe while he was mourning those 3 weeks and fasting, I believe he was praying. Don't you? And I believe that how are you going to get a hold of God? Prayer and fasting. Amen? Not only that, but the Bible says that he didn't anoint himself. Somehow I believe, and I may be way off base, but somehow I believe he might not even took a bath for 3 weeks. Didn't even get up long enough to clean himself up. You may say, boy, he is a mess. I'm sure God would have never heard his prayer in that kind of situation. Oh, he's denying himself, even cleaning himself up. You know, cleaning yourself up sometimes feels real good. Now, when I was a little boy, cleaning myself up, I didn't like to do. My mom would say, go take a bath. I didn't like to go. In fact, I deceived my mom. I'll confess it by tape tonight in front of this congregation. Many times she'd say, go take a shower. And I'd take my new clothes I was going to wear in there, and I'd get my towel out, and I'd turn the shower on, and I'd flick it just like this, and get the towel just a little bit wet, and throw it in the clothes hamper, so in case she fell of it, it'd be wet. I'd change my clothes, and I'd try to lick the bat places off of me, and go right out of there, right to bed. Mom said, you take a bath? Well, I'd stuck my finger in it, got a little wet. I said, yes, I did. And went right on to bed. I deceived my mom. Took me years to admit that to her. I want none of these young people in this church. Don't take a lesson from me. Now, I've told you how to beat the system, okay? But your mama's going to be checking on you now. All right? I want you to know I do not believe Daniel. Daniel did not eat. Now, I don't do that anymore. Don't you start running. Now, it feels good to take a bath in the shower every day. So, yeah, at least twice a day. It felt real good. Thank the Lord. But he denied himself even the pleasure of getting to make himself clean. What was Daniel's state of heart? What was his state of heart? You can see he is distressed and very burdened about the condition of the people. And I want to say to you tonight that I believe America is in much more trouble than Israel was at this point in time.
Amen, preacher.
Very, very much trouble. But why do we not fast and mourn and weep and pray and be concerned about our nation? Basically, when it comes down to it, truthfully, we're concerned about me and my four and no more. You may say, preacher, that's not fair. I'm concerned about people that I'm close to in my church. Well, okay? Me and my church and no more. Well, preacher, you're not really praying. I guarantee you're not really praying for our nation the way we ought to. Preacher, how can you say that? Because look at our nation. I believe God would answer our prayers. I believe God would answer our prayers if that's what our prayer was. But it's not our... Well, preacher, I prayed it. But I'm talking about as a people, as a nation.
Yeah.
Are we determined to get to God about these matters that a change had taken place? We're not as determined as we pretend to be. Amen? In these next verses, verse number 4, all the way down through verse number 9, we see point number 2. First of all, we saw a state of Daniel's heart. Now we see the state of holiness. Let's see it. Verse 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. The Hiddekel is the Tigris River. I looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color the polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude.
Amen.
We see here the state of holiness. Under state of holiness, A. Revelation. 2. What's happening here? First of all, Daniel's concerned about his people. And I believe on the 24th day of the month, of that first month, you know what that'd be? It'd be 10 days after Passover. I believe he got with some of his friends and said, y'all, we need to have prayer meeting. We need to get together and have a wall of prayer. We need to go to the Lord in prayer about our people. And they went out by the Tigris River, and they knelt there and began to pray. And while they're praying, and this is still in Daniel's 21 days of time, while they're praying, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and he saw a certain man, clothed in linen, hallelujah,
yeah,
whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also was like beryl, and the face of his appearance of lightning. His eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and feet like in color the polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I believe that was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ before his virgin birth. I believe there he appeared unto Daniel. How do you know, preacher, he appeared to me. Have you been fasting and praying with a great burden like Daniel had? I mean, these things come about by fasting. And I believe the Lord appeared there unto Daniel to try to show him some things. In fact, there's a great revelation that we see in the book of Revelation. These books tie together, we know. But let's go to Revelation chapter 1. We're coming back to Daniel. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 12. Now I turned to see the voice. John's out on the Isle of Patmos. Says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw get seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in my Bible, there's a statement that opens this chapter that says it's the revelation of St. John the Divine. Did you ever say that? What is it called? Is it called Revelation of St. This ain't the revelation of John. This is the revelation of Jesus to John. Well, preacher, listen, I'm going to say to you, this is Jesus being revealed to John. Not John being revealed to Jesus. Jesus knows everything about John. He knows everything about you and everything about me. We, my friend, in a revelation of Jesus Christ. And John on the Isle of Patmos, he got it. And when he got it, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. My friend, when he got that revelation, he was at his feet as a dead man. Go back to the book of Daniel. We see this revelation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's see Daniel's reaction. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Wait a minute, preacher. Thought you said he was out there with his friends. He was. I believe with all my heart he may have been the only one that was in the Spirit when he was praying. Because he was the one. Jesus was only appearing to Daniel. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. They didn't see him. But somehow I think they heard him as he spoke. Why, preacher? Trembling and quaking. There's their reaction. He said, therefore I was left alone. In other words, they took off and hid. And I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me. What happened to him? What happened to John? He fell at his feet, he's dead. What happened to Daniel? He said, there's no strength left in me. For my comeliness was turning me into corruption. And I retained no strength. I think he said, all that I thought that was righteous about me, when I saw him, I was unworthy and fell at his feet. In fact, I think about Isaiah over there in Isaiah chapter 6. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me, for I am unclean. In fact, I can show you in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw him sitting on his throne, and he described how great he was and how small Ezekiel was. I'll tell you what. We as a church, when we see Jesus Christ, when we're looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, when we see Jesus, we see ourselves as weak and impure. And that's when, my friend, we'll do business with God in these old-fashioned altars. When we see ourselves for what we really are, then, my friend, we'll be willing to get closer to Him. Daniel has completely lost it all. We see now his resolution. Now, let me say this. Comes to mind. What about Apostle Paul? You remember he used to be Saul, breathing out slaughter and threatening and persecuting the church. And one day on the Damascus Road, and he had a bunch of buddies with him, one day on the Damascus Road, there was a great light that shone down that spoke with him. Acts chapter 9. Some of you looking at me kind of funny. Preacher, I don't remember that part, Acts chapter 9.
Verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him in letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. What happened to John? When Jesus showed up, he fell like a dead man. What happened to Daniel? No strength left in me. I believe he's down on his hands and knees, down on his face. What happened to Isaiah? I'm unclean. I'm undone. What happened to Saul here? He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou? Lord. Amen. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, Who art thou? And he said, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I want to say to you, Paul had a bunch of buddies with him there, but he was the only one, my friend, that saw that great light. But I wonder if the rest of them didn't hear the voice and took off a run. I'll tell you what, when you hear his voice speak to you, you know him as the authority, amen. And you know when he says something's the way it ought to be, that, my friend, it ought to be just what he says it ought to be. Back to Daniel, we see his resolution in verse 9. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face. Basically, he said, I'm like a dead man. Now, that don't mean the sleeping y'all are trying to do tonight. No, when the preacher's trying to preach, you know how it is. It's kind of warm in here. You know, and he will let us go after a while. I mean, he's better than a alarm clock. There'll be a time he'll let us go. That's not the kind of sleep I'm talking. Daniel was, when the Lord was speaking, he wasn't sleeping during the message, amen. My friend, he was like a dead man. He said, when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. You know what was going on there? There was a great state of holiness. Jesus had done showed up on the scene. While he's asleep, while he's in this trance, while he's as a dead man, I believe there comes a second being in the play. I believe it's a being that he has seen and spoke with before. I believe the angel Gabriel, my friend, is ready to start doing business with Daniel. We see a switch in verse number 10. Preacher, are you sure about it? Well, we'll point out the difference here. Last of all, we see Daniel in a state of health. I mean, here he is as the dead man. Surely he needs help. You know what, tonight you and I, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We needed someone to help us to get over that state. And behold, a hand touched me. That's not the Lord's hand, I do not believe. I believe it's the hand of the angel Gabriel touching. You may say, Preacher, I don't believe it. Let's discuss it. Which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Preacher, sounds like to me, it's the Lord. He's trembling before. No. When the Lord was there, he is on his face as a dead man. And now here he's standing up trembling. I don't think he's going to discuss this with the Lord. I think he's discussed it with an angel. Amen, that the Lord has sent. We'll prove this to you here in just a minute, I do believe. But under state of hell, A, his revelation. What is the revelation? Gabriel has been revealed now unto that man Daniel. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. How long had he been praying? 3 weeks, 21 days. He said, you were heard the first day. God heard your prayer. You may say, anybody not get an answer? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I don't believe that this is Jesus that he's talking to here. Because if it had been the prince of Persia, he was not going to withstand Jesus. I mean, just a word and the prince of Persia has got to fall down. One day all tongues are going to confess and all knees are going to bow. And I'm telling you, when Jesus comes on the scene, my friend, he'll make the demons to flee and run into the swine if that's his will to be done. That's why I believe this is an angel. He is in a spiritual battle. He's being sent to help answer Daniel's prayer. But he's engaged in a battle with the prince of Persia. Let me say this. Behind tonight, every government that we know of on the face of this earth is in human form. President Bush. Prime Minister Tony Blair over there in Great Britain. I mean, Saddam Hussein was in charge over there of Iraq for a while. I mean, every nation has dignitaries, leaders, kings, presidents. Amen? And they're in human form. But what you and I don't see behind the veil of humanism and human form is a spiritual realm. It's all around us tonight. We just don't see it. We just don't see it. And I'm kind of glad for that because I don't think I can take it. But I believe for every government, there is some. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. No reason for me to try to say this without Scripture first. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's flesh and blood? Ephesians 6:12. Flesh and blood is us, human people. We're not wrestling with President Bush and Prime Minister Blair and all these dignitaries and leaders and presidents. But we're wrestling against principalities. What's principalities? Read on. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Behind every government, there's some human. There's some demon form trying to tempt, persuade, and lead that government into sin. I guarantee you not that in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, and I'm not here to hear what I'm telling you. Don't you mistake it. I'm not saying that government is evil and corrupt. I'm all for government. I believe it's a good thing. The Lord, 1 Timothy. Chapter number 2. I believe God sets governments up, don't you? I believe every power that's in office was ordained of God, placed there specifically by God. Just because there's some ruler of darkness behind the scenes that we don't see, don't mean that that man or woman in office is serving them. But it means there's an opposition force to what they're trying to do. There's an opposition force behind what this church, trying to oppose this church from going forward. Trying to do everything it can to stop you from growing. Stop you from hearing the message. Stop you from testifying to your friends. Trying to alter everything. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Amen. Hear me. The powers that are set up in human form, God has ordained it. Good or bad, God has allowed them to be put in office. But know this, behind the scene, behind the curtain, there's a great ruler of darkness, some supernatural force trying to oppose, pull them down. They're trying to ruin every plan that men has for good. The old devil's at work. And there are some men that are deceived by those old demons of hell. Yes, there are some women deceived by those demons of hell. I'm telling you that Gabriel was trying to come and they had heard Daniel's prayer the very first day and God dispatched Gabriel to go out and for 21 days he was in a spiritual battle with the prince of Persia. You know where Persia is tonight? Iran and Iraq. Tell me there ain't a great demon monstrosity behind that corruption. Tell me there's not one night problem behind America trying to rule and reign over. There is one in every country. There is one in every city. The devil's trying to oppose everything that you're trying to stand up and do for good. Do you follow me? Don't you mistake what I'm saying. I'm telling you that demons of hell are real. And this right here, God's trying to teach Daniel about prayer. You're praying, you're mourning, you're weeping. 21 days you're fasting. But what you don't know, Daniel, your prayer, you may say, well, God, where are you at? Hey, for 21 days my angels was hooked up in spiritual battle. Amen? You ain't got your prayer answered lately. Have you considered the fact that the answer's on the way? It's just delayed because there's a fight going on about it right now. Hey, and if God wants to, He can kick the blue John out of him and get him out of the way. Sure He can. But God's allowed the devil to have some leeway in some things. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, the great victor is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, I don't understand why He allows these things. I don't either. I don't either. But God teaches us to pray. And you know what? Prayer is not you coming down here making demands of God and telling Him, do this or do... You don't order God around. A lot of people, they say, God's going to do so and so. And they ordered God around. God does not run like McDonald's. You just don't go through the drive-thru and get what you want when you want it. Oh, no. You don't order God around. You know what prayer really is? I'm telling you what, God has a will that's going to be done. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
I'm talking about the sovereignty of God. We're getting deep now. Yes. I'm talking about the sovereignty of God. God has a will that's going to be done.
Yes.
And you and I come and pray, and we're to pray in the will of God.
Right.
Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. I am not supposed to pray. I'm not supposed to pray against the will of God.
Right.
I mean, there's enough opposition against the will of God already without the preacher and the deacons and the church praying against the will of God.
Right. Well,
amen.
Right.
You see, prayer is us praying in the will of God. And what it is God wants to get us involved in His will. And in prayer is where we learn to humble ourselves and submit ourselves so that we can be used in His will. You think you're there to make demands of God, but my Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Oh, there with me. I know all this is going to come out.
Bless you, Lord.
Y'all pray for me. It's getting deep up here. The devil's trying to fight. Matthew 7, 7. He's mad tonight because I'm revealing what he's trying to stop from going on in this church. Matthew 7, 7. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock. That's A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. Ask. You can come one time and you better ask and you better not ask amiss. You know why you don't get a lot of things that you need? Because you don't ask. God wants you to be in His will, involved in His will, but He wants you to ask that you can be involved in His will and His will be done in your life.
Amen.
Preacher, that's a crazy. That's exactly what He wants. Prayer is us learning, my friend, to talk and commune with God and be involved in His will and Him wanting to involve us in His will. That's what prayer is. But a lot of people think prayer is us ordering God around. Ask, my friend. Just ask Him. My friend, that's just simple. Ask. And He says, seek. You know what it means to seek? How many? It means sometimes you just got to sit down and study. I mean, how many times you can get down to prayer and you pray about it, you don't study? I'm saying to you, my friend, when you seek for something, it's not a, sometimes, have you ever lost something? And you went seeking it? I mean, you looked high and low. It might not have been a quick search. It might have took you some time. Every one of you, most of you, have got some kind of internet experience. And if you're trying to find something on the internet, sometimes you got to go through all kinds of search engines and different websites, and it can take you a long time to pull up what you need. But you're seeking something. I want to say to you, not seeking's not always easy. There's some research, some studying behind it. God says, get in the Word and see. You know why? You'll find it. Not only does He say it, He says knock. Now, how many of you go up? Now, if you do this, you're in bad shape. But how many of you go up to the door and go?
Right.
Well, in answer, I guess I'll go to the house. That's some poor knocking right there, man. I mean, when you go up to the door, usually you go. How many times I hit that right? It took me a minute. I mean, you come back and you pray again and again and again. And Daniel's going. 21 days in repetition praying.
Amen.
You may say, preacher, I just believe and prayed about it one time and God hears it and I'm not going to mention it. That's not knocking.
Amen.
That ain't knocking, my friend. You go on visitation with me and you go out and you knock one time. Let's go. That ain't going to work, my friend.
Yeah.
Go back to the book of Daniel. I got to hurry on. I'm in trouble tonight. Late. He's trying to tell him. He said, listen, you know what these things are? This prince of Persia, this ruler of darkness, these are fallen angels. There's a third of the angels that left heaven to follow the devil.
Amen.
They're fallen angels. They're opposing God's power, but they ain't going to win.
Amen.
The prince of kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Hey, Somebody was sent to help him. Michael. Of all the great archangels in the Word of God, he's the one that God has come down to execute judgment and wrath upon this earth. You see Michael coming, he's the one who's going to stand for Israel. The devil's supposed to be defeated when old Michael steps into the situation. And here he comes, and he's whooped the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. He said, you got this vision. I want to help you understand what's going on here. And I've been engaged in the battle. The devil don't want you to know, but God wants you to know. The devil don't want the answer to come to you, but God wants you to know the answer. I'm glad you're still knocking, Daniel. I'm glad you're still seeking, Daniel. Daniel, I'm glad you asked, because I've got the answer for you.
Amen.
So many times we think prayer is so easy. I'm telling you what, there's hard work in prayer. There's labor in prayer. Percy Ray was invited to a church to preach revival. He said, what time does Sunday school start Sunday morning at the church? When revival's going to start Sunday morning? They said, 10 o'clock. They made the mistake of calling on him to pray right after the superintendent read the report. At 1 o'clock, he said, amen, and the church was empty. Nobody stuck around to go to Sunday school or for worship. They just let him pray, prayed almost 3 hours. 13 got saved while he's praying.
Yeah.
Prayer's hard work, friends. You don't just order God around and say, amen. Oh, God, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. You know, that's what we do. These vain records, there's nothing to that. God wants to hear from your heart. God's trying to give him a lesson of prayer. There is the revelation. Now let's look at Daniel's reaction. I got to hurry on. Verse 16. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. I mean, he's not able to talk. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord. And that's a little L. Do you see that?
Yeah.
I believe if I'd been Jesus, I'd have been the big L, don't you?
Yeah.
O my Lord! O my Lord! By the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me straightway, there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Let me say to you, sometimes when you get up to preach, you spend all your energy trying to get a message across and all the emotion that's coming out of you. And I mean, you're distraught. You thought you worked 8 hours when you preached 30 minutes.
Right.
You may say, you're crazy. Try it sometime.
Bless you, Lord.
Try it. See how much study's got to go into teaching Sunday school, teaching a one a class for you know, just 30 minutes. There's some strain to it. But I want to say this to you. Oh, Daniel's doing more than just preaching. I mean, he was under the burden for his people. And my friend, he became physically ill. Got sick. He was so burdened. There's no strength left in him whatsoever. Then came there again. And touched me one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. And he said, oh man, great and beloved. Fear not. Peace be unto thee. Peace. I like that. Peace be unto me. He says, I want you to have peace. We said this Sunday morning, didn't we? I want you to have peace with yourself. I want you to have peace with your Maker. It's going to be all right. Fear not. Have peace. I'm in charge of this whole outfit. Well, glory to God. He says, I'll peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yay, be strong. We come in tonight frazzled out. I mean, the cares of this world, the designs of the day. We just beat all the pieces coming here. Said, oh, preacher, preach to me tonight. I'm just barely here. Let me tell you something, my friend. You need to be strengthened by the Lord. Strengthened like Daniel was. Daniel was strengthened by the Lord. And he says, and when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. There's something about hearing from heaven that will strengthen your soul. He said, I was strengthened. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Said, now I'm in condition to listen. I've been under burden for 21 days and going all through these things and understanding, but now I'm ready to listen to you. Speak to me. Tell me what it is. That was his reaction. What is his resolution? Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. In other words, Persia's still in rule. And I've got to go back. There's a battle going on. I shook free of him just long enough. Michael's still back there fighting him, but I'm going back to help in that warfare. I mean, there's an angelic warfare going on here in Persia. There's some evil angels and some great good angels that's in a warfare over the government that's going on there in Persia. Said, I'm going back there to Persia and I'm going to fight with him. And now he's not talking about fighting with flesh and blood. Listen, an angel fighting with flesh and blood, that wouldn't be a fair fight. He is fighting a great spiritual battle here. And the Bible says, And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Then we said after Persia's rule was over, Alexander the Great would come in humanly and take over. Guess what was behind him and oppose it all? Great demons coming in. So I'm going to have to fight them next. And he shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Why do you think God wanted Daniel strengthened? He wanted to show him so you and I would know and Daniel would know what's going to come to pass. And if you're so weak you can't listen, you ain't no good to God. He wants you to be strengthened so you can heed and hear his message. But next of all, he wants you to be strengthened so you can seek him in prayer. I want to say to you tonight, my friend, as we get ready to go home, I believe with all my heart. All my heart. There is strength in prayer. It's hard work. But God says, my friends, you'll never be involved. Hear me, Bethel Baptist Church and all its members and visitors. You hear by way of tape, you hear what I'm going to tell you tonight. This is the truth from Daniel chapter 10. You want to be involved in the will of God. I believe if you're saved tonight, your soul longs to be involved with the will of God. But inside you, there's a battle going on between your flesh and your saved soul. But what you don't know is there may be angelic things fighting over you tonight. Over what? But hear me. Only you have the decision how you're going to serve it. And when you're weak, you're not going to be able to pray like you ought to. I'm talking about somebody needs to be praying, oh God, strengthen Gabriel. Oh God, strengthen Michael. Oh, let me tell you something. 2 Corinthians. I just can't leave it alone. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I don't very touch on it very much. I may have never touched on it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 12. You tell me this ain't the truth tonight. 2 Corinthians 4, 12. If you ain't got it marked in your Bible, I suggest you mark it. There's a great, great, prayerful principle in 2 Corinthians 4, 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Say it again. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. What's that mean, preacher? That means Paul's writing here saying, we're praying for you. We're praying for you as a church. And I'm telling you, we're so prayerful for you as a church. It's almost a great burden or like death to us. But what we're praying for is that you would be strengthened and reap the blessings and the benefits of our prayer. He said, death's working in me. I mean, I'm praying for you to the very death of me. I mean, it's a burden and anguish for your soul. You're a burden, and I want you to be blessed. Death worketh in us, but life in you. He's writing to the Corinthian church saying, I'm praying for you, and I believe God's going to bless you. Answer the prayer I'm agonizing over, but life's going to come to you. I believe that. All right. You look at me funny. Let me give you this. Mom, I said he was going to go home. Now you got to get this. Mom, you worried about that son or that daughter. Maybe not tonight like you have been before, but when they were under a fever and under duress, and you didn't know how it was going to turn out, you tell me, how did you feel in your soul of souls? Were you on your knees before God begging, pleading? I think about little Dawson Lee Connolly there in the hospital and what they went through last night at 1 something in the morning. I'm telling you, they prayed all the way from here to there, getting anguish and burden of the soul. Death was working in Mama. Death was working in Daddy. They were burdened for their child. Yes, sir. And they were all burdened, letting death work and overcome them. Burdened so much that they didn't have any other focus but to pray that little child would reap the benefit of life. That little child would get the blessing. They're not asking for the blessing. And they said, blessed enough, just send my children. You tell me, Mama, would you not give your life for her? Would you not give your life for him? I'm telling you, when some of you are praying for your parents, you'd do anything. You're burdened for your mom and your dad. Death's working in you. And you're praying for the blessing, for life to come for them, for the help of God. Hear me tonight. I'm telling you, God wants us to be so involved that we're praying one for another. That death may be working in us, we're so burdened. But we want to see this church blessed. Amen. We want to see this church with life growing, strengthened. And I'm telling you what. We are not the prayer warriors that we say we are. We are not the prayer warriors that we run around and say, well, I'll be praying for you. You're on my prayer list. Let me tell you something. Our prayer list is meaningless unless you really pray. Right. can run things through this prayer chain in this church, and unless you ladies, unless you get on your knees somewhere and you call on God, it isn't no bit of good. It was just another phone call. If you ain't careful, I'll see prayer. Well, we better call. And the main thing you worry about is trying to get in touch with the next person. Let me tell you who you better be getting in touch with. You better be getting in touch with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's the one you better get a hold of. I'm telling you, my friend, death may need to work in us so life and blessings can go forth into other people. God wants us to be involved in His will. He wants to use this church, but I can guarantee you, there's an angel of wickedness up there that's fighting the message, fighting the hearer, fighting the church on its march from going forward. There's a young man, he's on the battlefield. You stay with me. He's on the battlefield. Young man's on the battlefield. Had New Testament in his pocket. He's out there fighting with all he had to fight with. The enemy shot him and hit him right in the heart. But guess what it hit? His New Testament, his Bible. Who do you think stopped that bullet from going any further?
Yeah.
It was the Word of God. In more ways than one. I believe it was the Word, the capital W, Jesus Christ. Maybe it was one of His angels that was there looking over that soldier. Maybe Mom was back home praying, "Oh God, take care of my boy and burn for him each and every day of her life." Death was working in her so her boy could have life. Somehow he put that New Testament, didn't ever, hardly ever carry it in his pocket like that, but he did that day. And you know where the bullet went through the front of that Testament? Do you know where it stopped? The last page that had a little hole in it. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His mom was back there in the secret place. I want to say to you tonight, my friend, there's some great principles of prayer. A lot of things we don't understand. I'm telling you what tonight. There's a battle tonight going on around you, around your children. You think you're safe? You just, if tonight the curtain could just be lifted for a second, and you see the demon monstrosities that are opposing this church, you wouldn't even wait for an altar call. You'd run an old-fashioned altar and say, "Oh God, help us in this situation. Help me on my job. Help my children in the schools." If you knew what was really up there. But my friend, I remember a man of God came out, his servant, and he said, "Look at all the enemy around us, Elisha. Look at all the enemy around us." He said, "Oh God, open his eyes and let him see that there's more of the Lord's army surrounding the enemy than there is of the enemy." And I want to say to you tonight, you and I ought to be encouraged to know, yeah, there's a great fight going on, but I know who's going to win.
Yes.
I read the last chapter. I know who's in control, and he still wants to bless us.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we do thank you tonight for the study of the Word of God. We pray, God, you'd help us to learn and glean from your Word tonight. We ask your blessings to be multiplied unto your people. We pray for the revival services upcoming. We pray, God, you'd bring us back safely this Sunday. Give us a good rest of the week in the Lord and help us, God, that we'd know that we ought to pray for each other so that there'd be life in one another and we'd be strengthened. We ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, it's 8:20. Good night. God bless you.
You are dismissed.